Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme, that our quiet don't seem able. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! King Shazir the Turbo! I rise from King Shazir the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
We know it.
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures news of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Constant sorrow all through his days. I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fare thee well, my own lover. I never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is given. I meet you on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping. the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. No shoes on their feet. How's the people living in the street? Oh, there's a solution. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I got Raymond in here, and both of us feel like we got run over by a trash truck. How you doing there, brother?
Oh, man. Same as you, partner.
Too much 4th of July, man.
It'll be.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I just can't keep up with those kids anymore.
Lord have mercy.
I just was going down through my subscriptions on my YouTube channel. I'm going to play a bit of this deal right here. Since 4th of July was yesterday, this is one heck of a subject.
For 2015, there is no better day to do this video than right now.
Can you hear that,
I have
Ray?
Documented for a long time on my channel that right now in this
country,
about
the American
there
flag
is an attempted
students
Bolshevik
at UC Irvine vote to ban the American flag.
Our streets that
what?
Gets stirred
yeah.
up from time to time.
I'll send you a copy of the link.
All the equipment that we've seen, they have been hijacked every
world,
time
by
communists
that if you fly the flag of another country,
and the people
other
in the
than the embassy,
last long enough
that you can
to
go to jail for
have a violent overthrow of
and a policeman actually,
they are moving
actually
their
arrested
next
a guy for trying to stop.
We are starting to see a push
for
a ban on
the
American
flag.
And it wasn't that
high
school
ago, in California.
Probably only a
can you believe
ago,
that?
When I was talking about
yeah,
the Confederate flag,
second,
and
planned.
I was saying that they're only trying
to
ban the
over
Confederate
to
flag because they want to go after
right,
the American flag next. Our nation is changing. Our rule of law is changing. We're being ruled by lawlessness. We're going into global unions that are being set up for us by Marxists. And this is all part of the plan. They want to change everything in this country. I know there are plenty of you that know that things have radically changed just in the last few weeks. And I just wanted to start from a couple months ago, back in March, students at UC Irvine voted to ban the American flag. And this was an unrelated issue in that this was not really Marxist driven. At least I didn't read it that way. This was more about people who are not from this country coming here and trying to change the country. But either way, the communists will hijack this movement of getting rid of the American flag. And then more recently, Louis Farrakhan said it's time to take down the American flag. And then we have this story here, which is very interesting, very powerful video. Activists planned to burn U.S. flag in New York City Park. When they showed up, these guys were waiting. And I'm not going to play this video because it's on the Blaze, but the video is only about a minute long, and it's very powerful. What is going on in this video is what is happening in America right now. We are seeing a split. Sides are being drawn. It could go off at any time. And then we have crap like this. Social media challenge. Stomp the U.S. flag. So they're trying to make it socially acceptable to walk all over the flag, burn it, ban it, you name it. And if you say to me, oh, that's outrageous, it'll never be socially acceptable to ban the American flag. Well, I'll give you this. 2 years ago, it was not socially acceptable for a man to wear a dress, and now it is. So, you tell me if you think that the American flag being walked all over won't become socially acceptable, because it will be, because there is a concerted effort to change this country. And I want to leave you with this, because they're going to go off our stupidity. There are people that are dumb enough to sign a petition to ban the American flag. And all the pieces are starting to fit nicely together for these people. They're getting everything they want right now. And we need to have an equal pushback against them in every possible way. That's all for now. Brown 61 signing out.
Well, I tell you one thing's for sure, brother. I best not start seeing a doggone bunch of videos out there on YouTube stomping down the American flag.
Yeah, but what gets me is people from other countries come here because of the way their government, their religions, or whatever, their persecutions, they come to the United States for the freedoms that we have. And then they try real hard to change our country to their country that they just left. Same reason. I mean, come on. I mean, are you people stupid? I mean, no. what is the meaning of an education? You're in your country. Your religions persecute you. The main government steals from you. Persecutes you, shoots you, kills you, whatever, and you want to leave that country. So you come here to the United States, and then all of a sudden, when you're here and you have the freedom to do things, what do? Change it to match the country you just left. I mean, duh! Why did you leave to start with?
Well, I tell you, this whole world's like upside down. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Well, yeah, actually, it does make a lot of sense, because there's been an effort to destroy America from the inside out, because they know that if they come down to a ground war or whatever, there ain't no way in heck that they could tangle with the American people, because American people still have the Second Amendment. And so, with that said, the best way to get the American people to destroy America is to start a revolution from the inside. See, I'm a veteran, and my grandfather was a veteran. My brothers are veterans. I come from a long line of military individuals that's been everywhere from the World War II to the Korean War. We've been all over this world, man. My family and my relatives. My Uncle Billy, he's been a lifetime in the military, you know. He was in the Korean War.
Yeah.
And so, with that said, you know, I was raised to love my country. I was raised to be a patriot. And you know, I got right there here in front of me on my desk, I got a little statue of an eagle that says, "In God We Trust" on it. And then it's right behind it is a copy of the United States Constitution with a picture of my grandfather and his two buddies from World War II. And right in the middle of that, I got the Holy Bible sitting in there, you know. Now, if you talk to anybody out here, especially on the internet these days, first off, they're trying to kick the Bible clear to the curb, regardless of what they think about that. You know, those are my moral beliefs that I was raised on, and the Constitution was, in my mind, the contract that was made between the government of the new government being formed back in the day, and then you know, between that and the people. You know, a representative republic. These are things that we're going to put down as, you know, a set of guidelines for future governments of the world. And ever since day one, somebody's been picking at it and picking at it and picking at it and trying to destroy that Constitution between the people and the government.
Right.
You know, and all the people who have sacrificed and died for this nation, there's been a lot of things that's gone on in here, all right. Yep. But it's not just the Native American Indians. It's not just the black folks. It's not just the Chinese or the Japanese or the Irish or the Scottish. There's been a whole lot of persecution going on in this nation for a whole lot of people. But just like you said, that it happens in every nation. It's all pointing the finger at the United States of America. Oh, the Americans are so terrible. Look at all these things they've done. But, brother, you're 70 years old, getting ready to turn 70, right?
71?
Yeah. You weren't even alive during the slavery days. You weren't out persecuting people. I'm 49, getting ready to turn 50. I wasn't out doing that stuff. A lot of this stuff happened so far back in our history that, you know, we have evolved as far as a nation to try to get more rights for more people all the way down the line. So it's been a struggle for this country to get as far as it has gone. All right? So, while I am not happy about what happened to certain individuals in the history of this deal, if you and I would have been alive back during the time when they were doing any of these atrocities to any of the races out there, you and I would have been the guys, we would have been the Underground Railroad for the to hide the slaves, or we would have been, you know, trying to protect the Indians or whatever. We would have been on that side.
Yes, we would.
And so with that said, and all the stuff that people, you know, that went to war to fight for freedom against Hitler and all the other, whatever, whether they're perceived or not, you know, however the wars got started, these guys honestly believed that they were doing the right thing. They believed that they were fighting for freedom, and they did it under that flag. And when people who are like in high school or college right now are sitting there talking down how terrible America is, there's a lot of worse places in this world.
A lot worse.
This country is a melting pot of many different people from all over the world, and they should be honored to live in this country. And those guys and gals, the veterans that missing limbs and arms and all that kind of stuff, neither one of us agree with war, but they put it on the line, Raymond.
Yep.
They put it on the line so that everyone else could sit here and talk the trash that they do.
Exactly. They couldn't possibly do that if it hadn't been for the men and women that went to war and fought for this country and for the right for them to stand up and down the country. Come on, give me a break. They left their country wanting political freedom, wanting religious freedom, but then they come here and try to get us to become like their country. I mean, why?
when our veterans came back from Vietnam, they got spit on, man. They got cussed out. They got treated like trash.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, they were following orders according to the people up at the top. And I feel like that the most of the anger that comes out of any of these conflicts, whether it be Iraq, Afghanistan, or anything like that, most of these conflicts started by the elites up there. The people are mad at the wrong individuals.
Yeah.
You know, it. Do you know that there's when the doggone ban is not the ban, the draft is in play, that it's a $250,000 to 2 years in prison fine for not signing up for the military?
Yeah, really.
So you didn't really give them much of a choice. There were, back during the Korean War and Vietnam War, there was like kind of an out. You could go up to Canada, you know, and hang out up there, or down to Mexico or something like that, and, you know, you wouldn't get thrown in jail.
You know, the whole thing is the Vietnam War nothing to do with war. It was a political deal. In fact, we couldn't be politically, we could not afford to actually win that war. We could have won it. We had the resources, we had the manpower, we had the knowledge, the technology, we had everything to actually win the war. But the politicians knew that politically we could not afford to win that war. So they just kept going and never called it a war. They called it a police action. And there was no policing to it. It was just a means of testing war materials. Come on.
Well, it's really frustrating, because there's a lot of walls being broken by the supposed leaders of the free world, all right? And we know that there's a lot of, you know, they say the president's just a puppet, and all these congressmen and senators are just a puppet. But in reality, if they wanted to buck the system, they could buck the system, whether they're not doing it for fear or whether they're doing it for filling up their pockets. The system is corrupt.
Yes.
All right. But it is better than the alternative. And here's the thing. All right. These guys are talking about revolution, you know, and overthrowing the government. We've never talked about overthrowing the government. We just talk about you get out there and vote and do whatever it takes to get these corrupt individuals out of the government and start passing laws to repair the damage that they've done all these years.
The problem we have is that 99% of all of your government officials in the United States are lawyers. And now, why would a lawyer vote for a bill or a law that would put lawyers out of work? Now, let me ask you a question. Okay, if you were a bus driver and you were in Congress and a bill came up that to be voted on to become a law that would hurt bus drivers, would you vote for it or against it?
It depends on what the law was about. I mean, if it was common sense, such as, you know, the somebody going to get hurt or kids going to get hurt, I'd read the bill, Raymond.
Yeah, that's the problem. They don't read the bills. They want their bill passed. So they make a deal with this Congress who wants his bill passed. I'll vote for your bill if you vote for mine. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that's what this
is. That's what his bill is about. That's why the United States government has so many laws that contradict other laws. I mean, they just passed a law here lately that there's four other laws that are actually the opposite. Come on. These people don't care. They just want to lie in their pockets. They want to stay in Congress so they can line their pockets, their lawyers. The United States is one little teeny, teeny, tiny country. Really small compared to the entire world. Yet, it contains 65% of all of the lawyers in the entire world live in the United States. Why? Because this country is the most sue-happy country in the world.
Yeah.
Because so many laws that contradict in other laws. And all these people that keep coming here because they don't like their country, they come here for political freedoms, and then they want to change our country to match the one they just left. I keep saying it over and over, because somewhere along the line, I'm hoping my words slap somebody upside the damn head.
Well,
why leave your country and come here and try to change our country to match yours if you didn't like yours to start with? Stay there.
They started off trying to ban the rebel flag and actually doing a pretty good job of it, because they actually got it taken off the General Lee, you know, and I wouldn't buy one of those cars, at the toy store, because it doesn't have the rebel flag on there. And, you know, they basically attacked the rebel flag as a racist flag. The whole history of it, there's black people that fought on the Confederate side, okay? So, there. Don't give me that whole, it's a racist deal. You know, whether somebody used it for a racist deal or whatever, you know. People don't know the whole history of the rebel flag. But the key of this whole deal is it is history. And you can't erase history. Well, you can if you're, you know, on that liberal side of the things that want to, you know, kind of change what America's all about. But it's not just that. It's the First Amendment. It deals with the First Amendment. You start banning the rebel flag because it offends somebody, there's other flags that's going to follow along with it. All right, the "Don't Tread on Me" flag. That's going to be one that they're not going to want, because now if you got this, you might be a terrorist. All right, you're a racist if you got the rebel flag. You're a terrorist if you got the "Don't Tread on Me" flag. And then you got to think about the gay rights flag, all right? Well, that's offensive to Christians because of the promise that God made to Moses that he'd never flood the earth again, all right? Yep. Well, then, of course, now we're talking about banning the American flag. Where does it stop? I mean, are we going to ban every single thing that offends anybody out there? There goes the First Amendment. The thought police come in. You can't think this, you can't say that, you can't do this. That's not freedom. Alright?
Exactly.
And what that flag represents to me isn't all the atrocities that supposedly did or didn't happen here in the United States to all the different cultures of the people that came here. Because in their own nations, they brought problems with them as well. Just as much as in their own nations, they had problems before they got here. So no nation could say that they didn't do no wrong to their people. All right, no nation could say that. And America, is a combination of all these nations together.
You know, talking about the rebel flag and other flags. I mean, if you go to another country. For example, you go to Mexico, if you fly an American flag in your yard, and you're an American, but you're living in Mexico, or you're down there on vacation, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you run up an American flag, you are arrested, and you serve 7 years.
Wow.
Mexican prison for flying an American flag other than the American embassy. If you're on Mexican soil, you will serve 7 years in prison.
We've had students that were told that they could not wear American flags on their shirts or American flag hats during Cinco de Mayo because it was offensive to the Mexican kids who were basically supporting and showing the Mexican flag.
Problem is, Shaziz, 90% of the Mexicans actually living in Mexico or the United States to have no idea what Cinco de Mayo is all about. They don't even know. They just know it's a holiday, a reason to party. They have no idea what Cinco de Mayo really is. Cinco de Mayo, they call it Independence Day. Duh, Mexico has over 100 Independence Days because there have been so many times that people, other countries have come in and taken them over and they fought. And Cinco de Mayo was the French when they rousted the French out of Mexico. It was a day of slaughter.
Man.
A day of slaughter. They killed by butchery over 20,000 French soldiers.
Man.
With machetes. I mean, they didn't even use rifles, machetes, knives, whatever the hell they could. They slaughtered them. I mean, they won independence. Most veterans don't even know what Cinco de Mayo is all about.
So we got, like I said, we got every nation out there. You could find one of these atrocities or multiple atrocities in China, in Japan, in every single nation out there. It doesn't matter. The Soviet Union, it just goes on and on. All right. Well,
people need to study history. The man said, "He who does not learn history is destined to repeat it."
Yep.
And we are doing exactly the same thing in the United States that Rome did. When Rome lasted for 300 years, it was the greatest nation in the world at that time. But then the politicians started giving this away, giving that away, letting this country come in, letting this country tell them what to do and what not to do. And that was the beginning of the downfall of Rome. And once it got on the downfall, it was like a skateboard on a banana peel going downhill. I mean, you can't stop it. And the United States is going by the same exactly by history, because people that are not learning history. Like I said, Mexicans don't even know what Cinco de Mayo is. And I know, and I've got a right to say what I'm saying, because I'm married to a Mexican. All of my in-laws are Mexican and live in Mexico. I've been to Mexico. I know how they, and none of them even understand the slightest little thing about Cinco de Mayo. Yet, the Mexican people in the United States, be them legal or not legal, it doesn't matter. They say Cinco de Mayo is a big deal. It's Mexican Independence Day. Whoa! Come on, people, study your history.
Well, there's a... like I said, there's a whole lot of examples of this all the way across the board. But this is our country, right? This is our country. And I say our country, I mean all the people that come here from all the different nations. This is the melting pot, all right? When America falls and everybody's underneath this one world rule, and you aren't being able to say or do what you want to do, you know, the communist rule or Marxist rule or whatever kind of label they want to tack on it. Either way, it'll be a small group of individuals who are the ruling class elite who will essentially tell you where to go, what to do, what to eat, what not to eat, which land you can stand on, which land you can't stand on. And this is all leading to that. It's leading to some wealthy bankers from all over the world who have already stolen from every single nation out there. I mean, they have raped and pillaged the land, the resources of every nation. And we're fixing to allow them to break us all up, to pit the Mexicans against the whites, against the blacks, against the Chinese, against the Japanese, against the Koreans, the Vietnam, all of us. It's a divide and conquer of epic proportions, and they do this every time. They're on the verge of getting caught. Their financial system's collapsing. They got to put it out there somewhere. All right. Problem, reaction, solution. They got to start a fight over here to keep your eyes off of what they're doing over there.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. What was it that the admiral of the Japanese Navy said when the flight came back from bombing Pearl Harbor? They were all the pilots that survived and came back and landed on the aircraft carrier. They were all jubilant and celebrating that they had destroyed so many ships and this, that, and other. And the admiral looked at them and said, in Japanese, but translated to English, "I'm afraid that all we have succeeded in doing is to awaken a sleeping giant."
Yep. And that's exactly what they did, too. And that's exactly what this... You know, Russia's not down yet. China's not down yet. America's not down yet. And even little old measly North Korea's not down yet. All these different nations out there saber rattling right now, and all these drills going on all over the world. All it takes is like a little spark, man.
Yep.
The wrong spark in the wrong place, and we're literally standing in World War III. And you know, I can see, I can shout to all four points of the compass, peace and love and hope, and can't we all just get along, kind of stuff. But if ain't nobody listening, if ain't nobody doing nothing to make that happen, if they're not talking to their senators and their congressmen and their representatives all the way down to the local mayor in your town, if you're not talking to nobody, if you're not discussing this and trying to steer people away from this kind of direction, right now, it's pretty much taking a life of its own. The bus isn't being driven by one madman. It's being driven by all the madmen of the world. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying.
And I don't want no third world war. I don't want no civil war. You know, but we're literally going that direction. We're going to see it. And you know, when America falls, if it does, I mean, just like all other societies, it's going to create a huge vacuum. It's going to have to be filled in. It's not going to be like, you know, the Russians come over and conquer America and now we become a Russian nation or anything like that. We're talking about mutual assured destruction, that before this nation falls, our military will push every single button on every single nuke that we got, and all the firecrackers will go off. And then on that day, it's like, if you, hey, party's on. If you use them, if you got them, you know.
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen. And so every nation's going to suffer. It's going to be just like that. And there's going to be such terrible things happening in this world to people, good people, in every single nation, in every little nook and cranny on this planet. It's not going to be, we're talking a literal hell on earth. Yeah. All right, that's what we got to look forward to.
Did you ever see that Red Dawn?
Yeah.
That pilot, you remember what he said when the kid asked him, who started it? And what did the pilot say?
I don't remember.
You know, it's just like the two biggest bullies on the block. Eventually, they're going to fight.
Well, that's why we need somebody, waving the peace flag in all different nations. And it doesn't even have to be the two big guys that start it. It could be the little Jerry Springer of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And the Jerry Springers of the world are the ones that are up in the upper ruling class. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't got nothing against rich people. It's rich people with weird ideas talking about depopulating the world or fixing everybody with vaccines or putting IUDs in high school girls, you know, 12, 13-year-old girls at school, or doing mandatory vaccinations, or telling people you can't have God in school, you can't have this or that, you know. It's a continuous picking away at the system to get... You know, you can get under the skin of a Christian really easy. All you got to do is start insulting his beliefs, you know. You can get under the skin of a Muslim just as easy. Do the same thing. Draw a picture of Mohammed, you know. They know this stuff.
Yes.
They know where to poke every single race. They're going to poke the Mexicans. They're going to poke the Native American Indians. They're going to poke the Chinese and the Japanese. And all the time, while they're stirring the pot, they're over there ha-ha and eating up their caviar and fancy wines and living high on the hog off the money that they're making selling you, like every single time. Y2K or 2012, all this stuff, man, they sell generators, they sell guns, they sell ammunition, and the mainstream media's coming out telling everybody, oh, you're nuts, but then they keep on scaring the heck out of you with other stories, you know. And so they have got this system down pat. All they got to do is scare the crud out of you. You ain't going to be able to get gas in the morning. Everybody goes to the gas station. You ain't going to be able to get bread in the morning. So everybody goes to the store. Yeah, the banks are going to close down. Everybody rushes to the bank. You see the trend there?
Yeah, but I'm glad you mentioned something about selling and buying guns and ammunition. Because recently, a few months back, They caught some guy in California that had a whole arsenal of weapons, automatic weapons, and military weapons, all kinds of stuff, and over 200,000 rounds of ammunition. And I got an email from my mother about that, and I don't think she wrote the email. She just forwarded it to me, and somebody had written in, well, duh, that's California. I mean, if a man had all of those weapons and 200,000 rounds of ammunition in Georgia and South Carolina, he would be considered a very eligible bachelor. In Arkansas, he would be considered your hunting buddy. He'd be considered your neighbor down the road. It's a little short on ammunition.
Well,
in your mindset of the society around you, 200,000 rounds of ammunition, I mean, one man, I've got a sneaky feeling this guy's got some buddies that he thinks that if he gets in trouble, they're going to help him out, and he needs to supply.
Yeah, listen to this. The Second Amendment is plain and simple. It says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in subsection A and Article C under the fine print in paragraph D. It shall not be infringed. But in order to gradually take this away, they had to start putting in little laws and little regulations that says that if you get a felony, then you can't no longer own a firearm, right? Well, no ifs, ands, or buts in that whole time to deal. And so the people, well, that's agreeable. You know, I wouldn't want a criminal to have a gun. Well, the criminals, by definition, are criminals. They're going to get a gun regardless of whether or not it's legal or not legal.
They're criminals. They break.
Yeah, but
so if you play the law and you don't have a gun because some idiot passed a law that you can't have a gun, so now you're a law-abiding citizen, so you get rid of your guns or you register them or whatever, now all of a sudden you can't protect yourself against the criminal.
Yeah, but the problem isn't just that. The problem is that it weakens the Second Amendment. The whole purpose of the Second Amendment was, in case of the government getting so tyrannical, out of control, that the people would be able to defend themselves against said government.
Exactly.
But now that these laws and regulations were accepted freely in by all the individuals out there, that said, oh yeah, that's right, we shouldn't give crazy people guns, we shouldn't give these guys any felons a gun or anything like that. There are laws on the books right now that can make you a felon even if you're not even a criminal. I mean, you don't even know how many laws are on the book that can actually make you a felon, you know?
Right.
And so, doing something, anything that causes you to lose that right to the Second Amendment, which isn't supposed to be infringed, weakens the militia core of the world, of the United States, which is we the people, the last line of defense against the tyrannical government. So if 50-60% of the population can't no longer legally own a firearm, then you got 50 or 60 of the population who are now criminals.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And they know this. The people doing this to everybody, and it's not just being done to America, it's being done to the world. The people that do this, they know what they're doing.
I'll tell you something right now. I am an American. I'm not Asian American. I'm not Black American. I'm not African American. I'm not Scottish American or English American or Irish American. I am a Heinz 57, 100% American citizen.
Well,
I was born here, my parents were born here, and my great-great-great-grandparents came here from another country, but I've been here all my life, and I am an American citizen.
I have.
I am not African American. I am not Asian American. I am an American. Is African American, as far as I'm concerned, they go back to Africa.
If they're
Scottish American, they need to go back to Scotland.
You can track my heritage back to the French, to the Canadians, and to the Cherokee Indians. All right? And so, like you said, man, what do you do? They put labels on everything. The left-right paradigm, Democrats versus Republicans, you know, and everybody's like, oh, I hate them Republicans, and the other one, I hate them Democrats. Well, the fact of the matter is, at this stage of the game, there's no difference between the two of them. They're both corrupt. Libertarian Party and the Green Parties, all the other parties out there, you very rarely hear of, but every time you do hear of them, it's in the light to where they're saying, well, that crazy Ron Paul, you know, he's a separatist, you know. They threw a label on him. All right, nobody's going to vote for Ron Paul because they're afraid that the blue team's going to win.
Right.
Or they're afraid the red team's going to win.
Yeah, one of the biggest political mistakes ever made in this country was when Ron Perot was running for president, and he didn't get it.
That's because he dropped out to the end there. He could have won.
Time in history, if Perot had been voted in as president and served two terms, this country would not be in debt today.
That's right.
I mean, you know, we were not at war. I mean, we had a few skirmishes going on here and there. There was no big war effort or anything like that going on at that time, but we were in a financial downhill slide. That knew how to run a business. He would have run this country like a businessman and like a business, and he would have gotten rid of our daggone debts and put us back in the black and not the red.
You know, I actually think Ron Paul could have done something. When we're talking about Ross Perot and we're talking about Ron Paul, we're talking about in a fair election and in a fair governmental system. But the key is, it ain't fair. You know, our votes are being... When a dead person can vote 30 times, there's a problem.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And if I'm ever at the polls and dead people from the graveyard come walking up to vote, I'm not going to stick around. All right? I seen the movies. They like eating people. But
wait, you got me back to the heart, man.
You know, I don't want no zombie apocalypse going on there with your brains, more brains. Like, well, you know what? I hear my mama calling. I'm just saying, man. But, you know, dead people can vote, and some people can vote multiple times, and, you know, and then the old shifty machine that you put your vote in for one guy and it pops up on the other guy's counter and stuff like that. It's like playing Monopoly with my brothers, man.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, really, truly, because of all that crap you're talking about, and it does exist, and what they call voting college or something other than college, the electoral college.
Yeah, the electoral college. Yeah,
it makes voting for politicians in this country a literal, absolute, 100% joke, a bad joke. But nevertheless, a joke.
Yep.
Voting in an election is nothing more than a joke.
Well,
a political bloodless revolution. And that is when the American people need to stand up. And I don't give a damn whether you're African American or Asian American or Scottish American or Italian, or it doesn't matter what. Are you an American? And if you are, stand up.
But you see, that's the problem. That is why the whole stomping on the flag thing is glorified by the mainstream media. Because as long as all they're stomping on the flag, they're making the veterans mad. All right? As long as they're kicking around the Bible, they're making the Christians mad. As long as they're dividing people between colors, race, religions, or heritage, or whatever, they're making those people mad. So the people are not focusing their anger towards where their anger should be focused, towards the Congress, the Senate, the man in the White House. They're focusing their anger back and forth amongst each other, and nothing is getting done for the people. But meanwhile, while the people are down here fighting amongst each other over whether or not we're going to ban the flag or burn the flag or stomp on the flag or whatever, these crooks are up there passing stuff that they're not even reading. All right? And they're starting wars that our guys, okay, well, everybody, we'll have to take care of this flag issue later. We got to go fight communism. We got to go fight terrorism. So they send our children from this side of the world over to kill other people's children from that side of the world, and they're getting by with it.
You know, I've said this several times in the past about Samuel Clemens. A lot of people don't know who Samuel Clemens was. He was, his ghostwriting name was Mark Twain. And I've said this at least 15 times on the same program. He who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed. And that is what you saw talk about the mainstream media, the news. It doesn't matter what newspaper, the television, the internet, or whatever. I mean, people are going to write only things that are exciting. They're going to change things so that they can sell more newspapers. They can sell more advertising on their commercials. I mean, they don't care about what's going on. They just want to get the money. So they're going to excite everything and pull it out of proportion completely. I mean, there you go.
Well, it's just, that's the thing, man. All it is, if you really pay attention to what's going on, if you step back and look at the big picture and you watch the borders being wide open. Well, people don't realize that the North American Union treaty was signed in way back when. All right, they didn't tell nobody that. There is no Mexican border. There is no Canadian border. That's been erased a long time ago, but they didn't tell the American people, because if they told the American people would have already been in an uproar. They don't realize that. But it wasn't signed in because we wanted it, you know. The country back in the 1930s, after the first stock market crash, got stolen right up from underneath. It got handed over to a private banking industry, which is known as the Federal Reserve. Ain't nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. It's not part of our government.
Right about that. Ain't nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. It's just a name.
Yep. And
this government needs money, they give the Federal Reserve permission to print money with nothing to back it. And then, what really ticks me off, they borrow this worthless money from the Federal Reserve and agree to pay them back plus interest. I mean, come on, man.
Well,
that damn problem when he dissolved the Federal Reserve and printed actual federal notes. And he is the one that designed it and made the backs black and the front green, and that's how come they were called, nicknamed, greenbacks.
The mere fact that the Washington, D.C. is in the District of Columbia instead of the United States of America, do you know it's not even the United States of America? It is the District of Columbia. That ought to be a red flag.
Yep. You got that right.
In the central corporate section of the United States of America, the District of Columbia, the ruling elite gathered down in there, and you don't have the same rights in Washington, D.C. as you have around the other portions of the country that still have a constitutional right after the Patriot Act was signed in, the National Defense Authorization Act, all this stuff. They have literally been stealing this country and depleting the Constitution for so many years. It's not even funny. And these guys are patient, man. Why not be patient? They're at the top of the deal. They got all the time in the world. They're setting their grandchildren up to literally be the dictators of the world. And it's not just coming from America. It's coming from Britain. It's coming from Russia. It's coming from all over the globe, man. International bankers. IMF. International Monetary Fund. Does it ring a bell?
Yep.
That's what they're doing. And in the meantime, good people are sitting here being insulted while somebody else is stomping on their beliefs, all right? Don't hate me because I'm a Christian. Don't hate me because I believe in the Bible. That's my business, you know? I'm not smacking you in the head with my Bible saying, get behind me, Satan. So, as long as I'm not doing that to you and I'm letting you do your own thing, let me do my own thing. That's what freedom's all supposed to be all about. You know, I'll find out whenever the day comes whether or not my beliefs are right or wrong. You know, when I get to the other side, I'll either be in pitch black and not know nothing, or I'll be standing at the pearly gates hoping that I'll get invited in.
You know, what you're talking about being a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever reminds me of a joke, and it sounds really cool if you think about it a minute. Irishman named Hennessy was lying on his deathbed, and the Catholic priest came in and said, "Hennessy, do you renounce Satan?" And Hennessy says, "No, Father." And he said, "Hennessy, renounce Satan and renounce him now." "No, Father, cannot do that." "Why?" "A man in my position, Father, cannot afford to make enemies."
That's some logic for you, huh?
Getting too serious, you know.
Well,
afford to make enemies, you know. There you go.
Look, I don't know whether my beliefs are right or wrong, all right? We all have been, from the time that we were born, we were told many, many things. We were told several different views of many things, whether there is or isn't aliens, whether there is or isn't a one-world government conspiracy, whether there is or isn't some doomsday scenario about to play out. But we made it through 4th of July, even though the government said that there was a big possibility of a terrorist attack on American soil. You know, it's just, don't never stop.
I'm glad you brought up the thing about is there or is there not aliens, because, you know, I was a young kid in high school when they were talking about sending messages out into outer space.
SETI.
Inviting other people or beings.
SETI program, search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
I just got through saying, he who does not study history is bound by nature to repeat it.
Yep.
Think about this a minute. When when the English came to the United States, when the French came to the United States, there were people living here. We were superior. We were white people. We had the ability to travel across the ocean. We had firepower. We had rifles. We had cannons. What did we do? We took over. We killed them. We took their damn land. When the English went to Australia, there were people living there. What did they do? They were superior. All right, we're going to send messages into the universe and outer space inviting other people to come here.
Yeah, and when they get here, what are they going to do? we come in peace like Mars attacks. Ack, 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 and then they start shooting.
What consequences is it? They can travel through space. But, my God, the first thing they're going to do is kill us and take over the world. I mean, God, you're inviting someone to come to your land superior to you?
Well, some people believe the lizard people are already here, and that's who's doing all this stuff. But I would say that I don't really agree with that, because if the lizard people were already here, they would probably already have blasted us, unless, you know, they're just stupid or something.
Really?
Maybe it's like some people say that the lizard people are here and they use us for food, you know, cattle, you know?
Exactly.
And they do it right in front of our face.
Exactly.
Whatever the case may be, the fact of the matter remains. All of us down here on the planet, whether it's going to be a threat from outer space or an internal threat from within our nations individually or all together, we're heading down a path to sure destruction. You're going to ban the rebel flag, and you're going to ban the American flag, and you're going to ban the gay flag, you're going to ban the Christian flag, you're going to ban all flags of all nations, with the exception of that blue flag with the New Age religion sign slash sacred geometry on there.
Yep.
The same Illuminati slash Freemason slash Skull and Bone societies that everybody keeps saying there's going to be this one world government under. So everybody under the guise of not offending anybody is going to go underneath this one particular umbrella with this one particular currency under this one particular governmental tribunal that's going to tell you what you do and what you don't do. And you're going to have to go before them to get any grievance solved.
And then there's going to be the underworld that's going to be fighting that one government, one money, one flag, one this, one that.
Yep.
Always going to be that little group down there that doesn't agree, and they're always going to cause dissension and chaos. Mexico has had a revolution going on for the past 300 years.
Well, look over there in the Middle East for a couple thousand years. They're still over there fighting the jihad, man.
Exactly. A religious war. Come on, there's been more people have been killed throughout history because of religion than any other reason. Land, resources, oil, gold, cattle, women. It doesn't matter why a war started. I mean, Helen of Troy, most beautiful woman in the world, that started a war because somebody stole her. I mean, come on.
Well, where does it stop? That's the question.
Throughout the entire history, known history of man, religion has created more deaths than any other reason.
But therein also lies the conundrum there. Because when you're talking about how religion did it, that's the only portion of the phrase that I disagree with, because just like with the American flag, the religious flags, or the rebel flag, or any of that other deal, that the initial concept, the initial idea, whatever it stood for, the initial churches or whatever, were all hijacked by corrupt individuals that seen that these guys believe in this, and so we can manipulate this, and we can get them to do whatever we want them to do by telling them this or that or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And so, because I'm a Christian, all this stuff that supposedly happened under the Christian flag is, on me, all right? If you're a Muslim, then all the corrupt terrorists out there underneath the guise of their religion as well, it's all on the good Muslims, it's all on the good Buddhists, it's all on the good Hindus, and so on and so forth. It isn't the religion, it's the organization of the religion under the corrupt individuals such as the Pope, man, in plain view. Plain view of the entire world is literally holding a scepter with a satanic version of the cross, the bent cross. Look it up. Go Google it. Google the bent cross, and you will see right in front of everybody's face in this entire world, he's literally holding a mockery to Jesus Christ. And he's supposed to be, the leader of the church?
Yeah.
You see, know, there's a problem there.
I don't want to make you an enemy of mine, because I consider you a very close friend. And there's a lot of people out there that listen to our show that have a little tiny bit of respect for what I have to say and what I think. And I'm going to say something right now that's going to really hurt a lot of people's feelings, and I'm sorry for it, but I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Zionist. I'm an agnostic.
Well, that doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, you walk your own personal spiritual journey just like I do. And I'm not trying to throw I'm not even religious.
Let me explain something. I'm an agnostic in that I do believe that there's something, somewhere, something that doesn't control but gives life. And the Christian Bible says that God created man in his image. And the Muslim Bible says basically the same thing. Now, they got different laws, different rules, that if you're not a Muslim, then if you are a Muslim, then you're creating God's image. So anybody that is not a Muslim, it is your duty to destroy them. Christianity says help your neighbor, no matter who the heck he is. Buddhist believes everything is a part of God. Hindu believe that sex is, I mean, you know, they got a lot of beliefs, okay? And serve a lot of God. But one of the big things of the old Hindu religion was sex. What is sex? It's pleasure. What is pleasure? It's anything that makes you feel good. So what is sex? If a man likes to go fishing, wait a minute, he enjoys it. It's pleasure. Another man likes to go bowling. I believe that each and every human being has the force of life in them is God. That's what I believe.
I have no problem with that because I don't have the ultimate knowledge. None of us do. The only reason why I ever even point out anything about Christianity is the mere fact of the hypocrisy of the world. You know, if you're going to allow people to walk their own personal spiritual journey, you need to let all people walk their own personal spiritual journey.
Exactly.
You know, are people out there being killed for their beliefs.
You cannot go up if there is not a down. You cannot go down if there is not an up.
And in Genesis, which backs up what you said, in Genesis, it talks about God created man in his own image, which makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny. You know, the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill. It didn't have no ifs, ands, or buts, subsection A, article B, and of the fine print, and in paragraph C, it said, thou shalt not kill. Now, that's a good rule to live by that everybody should be able to agree on.
Exactly. Right?
However we got here, we'll find out when we get to the other side. In the meantime, all this divisiveness that's going on is literally tearing humanity apart. And as long as you guys are battling against each other, then the guys at the top can get by with murder, literally.
Actually, yes. Actually, you are 100% correct. I mean, thou shalt not kill.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you can't kill your cow and have a steak. It means you can't kill your neighbor. There is no subsection B, Article 12. I mean, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't mean you can't kill anything. Think about this a minute. If you can't kill your animal that you raised to eat, then you're going to die. But, whoa, I'm a vegetarian. You don't think that carrot you just ate this morning for breakfast was not alive? We're going to eat dirt. We're going to eat rocks. I've known vegetarians that we eat eggs.
Well, I'll tell you what, before I eat bugs, I'm going to go out there and eat the tree bark.
wait a minute, it's alive. you're going to wait until the tree dies? Eat it?
Yeah, I probably have to, because now that you tell me the tree's alive, I don't want to, like, murder no tree.
Exactly.
But either way, you know, we can...
I'm a tree hunter either.
You have to almost laugh at the lack of common sense, the stupidity of it all. But if it wasn't such a serious ordeal, such as people suffering in this world, I mean, if I care about your little kids, your grandchildren, I should care about everybody else's grandchildren, just like I care about mine.
Exactly.
And we're raising these kids up to see all this death and destruction and trash. Is that what we want for the future of humanity? And do we want to put in the hands of a one-world government the power to teach these kids whatever they want and write history the way that they want? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Chain out in the...
Do you trust the king? That's the question.
Wheelbarrow, you got to get out here and slam down and stand down.
Thanks, Rob. Pretty heavy.
Do you trust the government? Do you trust the king?
Heck no.
I mean, if you go down to the casino, it's usually rigged towards the house. The house usually has a better odds than you do. All right, that's why they steal a casino. That's why they still make money. The system, which is the government of the United States and the governments of all nations out there, is rigged on behalf of the government. I mean, when they say continuity of government, when they talk about bunkers and firepower, you paid for it.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned casinos. Because you can beat the casino. But the thing is, the dumbest thing you could possibly do is try to break the casino.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I love casinos, and I love the dice table, and I love the roulette wheel, because there are systems that will beat the table. There are. I've talked to several dealers, and they go to school 3 times a week, 2 hours each time, to learn systems that work and how to spot them.
Well, and there you go, and that's my point. That there was the moral to why I even brought up the casinos.
All right, the main thing is you can't break a house.
That's right, and you don't want to.
But now, if you come up with a system that will work, they'll let you do it, and they know you're going to win 100% of the time. You are going to win. And they let you do it, and they want you to do it. Why? Because other people see what you're doing, and they're going to try to do what you do, but they're going to try to get rich, and you're not going to get rich. Any system that works in a casino, you will not get rich. You will make a little bit of money if it's a good system, not cheating.
Well,
if it's really a genuine system, you'll make a little bit of money. But the casino, for every $100 you make, they're going to make $1,500 to $2,000 off of people that see what you're doing, see you making money, and they're going to try to get rich, and they're going to both do it. I am right now $74,000 ahead of the casinos that I'll ever play dice in or roulette. My wife and I, we go, we play roulette. She bets red, I bet black. And we bet the same amount of money. And we walk away from the table $100 up for every hour we sit there.
Wow. Well, knowing...
They love it. I mean, I've talked to 3 different dealers, and I've tried to tell them, you know, at different times now. So they didn't even know that I was talking to the others. And so, you know, I've got the system of, we're watching you. We know what you're doing. Well, if you know what I'm doing and you let me play, then... why are you letting me play? Why am I not barred? And he told me exactly what I told you. And I just said, it's great. They love it. Because you win $100, $200, and you walk away.
That's...
And people see what you're doing, and they try to do it, but they want to get rich, and they don't do it exactly the way you do it.
That's the whole key. There are people out there right now who know how to game the system, so to speak, with the government. All right, they know how to get what they want. It goes back to the simple phrase, the squeakiest wheel gets the grease.
Yeah, and the thing is, the people that are bilking the government out of money, they don't care about the future. They don't care about their kids.
No.
They what they want to do is get all the money they can possibly get. There's people out there to get food stamps. They get government housing money. They get welfare. They get this. They get that. They don't care about their children in the future.
But here's the thing, Raymond. Even at that, the system, the way it's set up, is getting people so reliant on the system that, you know, you can't get away from it.
Exactly.
If suddenly the whole system shut down, there would be mass chaos in the street when people can't get their money out of the bank, when they can't get their subsidies or whatever. There would be mass chaos in the street. And these guys that are in charge, they know this.
You know, welfare and food stamps and all that crap was really and truly a good idea. It was in the beginning. But like everything that's a good idea in the beginning, eventually people learn, or whatever, they learn how to turn it around and make it bad. There's nothing wrong with welfare that helps older people that need help. There's nothing wrong with food stamps, with someone that's sick and can't work right now, so he gets food stamps for a month or two until he gets back on his feet. The problem is, when you give a man a fish, he eats that day. You teach a man how to fish, and he will eat the rest of his life.
Yeah. Now,
the thing is, I don't know. I don't know if it's the government or the assholes running in the government or whatever, but welfare, Social Security, all that crap has gone astray big time. It's like unions. I am a union man. I am not in a union right now, but I was a union man, and I believe in unions because I know how the working man feels. But the problem is, you've got people that like power and money running the unions today. That's the problem.
Well, they
running the government, not the people that own the government or the people of the government. It's the people running the government. The government has been in power for so long, there's nothing up there but people that are greedy.
The people at the bottom have become their own worst enemy, because we the people are the government, and we the people are not doing a good job of holding those who we allow to be in seats of power to represent us the right way. You know,
that's why I said the United States needs a bloodless, an absolute 100% bloodless revolution. We need to get all the lawyers and all the greedy people out of the government and start putting common people in the government to run the government for the people.
Well, and that's why I think on senators and congressmen, there should have been term limits a long time ago that would only allow a person to go through, you know, one or two terms max.
You know, I just got an email the other day that was talking about Obama and all the crap he's done while president. And at the very end of it, I mean, it was really a long email. And it was, oh, God, it was unbelievable. And at the end of it, it said, Hillary Clinton, Obama's third term.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really. I'm becoming taken.
But you look at all these supposed candidates that dangled in front of all the different reds and blues out there. They're all the same people all the time.
All right, I want to make something clear. I'm not against Hillary Clinton, okay? I brought that up for the simple reason that she's political. And she is a power seeker.
I'm against all of them.
That's my point. I'm not against her. I'm against all of the power seekers. We need to get common people, everyday people that have a little education and understand that they are common people. They're working for a living. They are the ones. It's the government for the people, by the people.
Well, if anybody...
lawyers up there trying to gain support by voting for this bill. They have no idea what the heck it is, but they're going to vote for this guy's bill because he's going to vote for theirs and make that bill into a law.
If anybody wants to see a prime example of what's going on in this world, go see the movie Chicken Run.
If you guys take the bottom, the base of the pyramid, and you take it apart, what happens to the top of the pyramid?
We already know it falls, and that's why we're trying to tell everybody. Everybody go out from underneath the beast that you're holding up in the air and set it on its butt.
Walk off the cliff and it will fatal flaw.
It's just a, you know, the problem is getting people to get motivated is the trick, because we got all this divisive stuff going on. People talking about a social network stomping on the American flag. Well, you know how many veterans that's going to offend? How many patriots that's going to offend? We talk about banning the rebel flag. Do you know how many the people of the South who know the historical truth of what that is going to offend? Okay, well, the next, ban the gay flag, ban the Christian flag, ban all the flags, and throw us under that nifty old blue flag with the sacred geometry on it, and everything's going to be cool because everybody get along. We all got one flag, everybody's equal, and all this kind of stuff right there. Or are we going to be equal? That's the question. Or are we all going to be euthanized when we get too doggone old because we're draining too much off the system?
You know, I've said it before several times on this show, and I've said it many times before on this show. He who does not study history is bound by nature. He is destined to repeat it.
Yep.
And the thing is, in speaking of the rebel flag and slavery and black history and this, that, and other, Abraham Lincoln was not an advocate for slavery. But at the same time, when he passed the Emancipation Proclamation Act, he did it reluctantly. His commanders of the military convinced him that if he did that, that the slaves would revolt in the South and they would cause chaos. Well, they didn't. So what did he do? His commanders also taught him, convinced him to have General Sherman put him in charge of the war effort in the South. So what did Sherman do? He was a malicious, accused by French asshole. He emptied the northern prisons of all the murderers, thieves, rapists, bandits, muggers that he could find. He divided them up 25 and 30 man units and sent them south and said they could do anything they wanted. They could rape, kill, murder, rob, steal, burn, anything they wanted, so long as it was below the Mason-Dixon line. And if it was below the Mason-Dixon line, they would not be chastised for it. Therefore, he sent them down south. They wreaked havoc throughout the South. The scorched earth policy. Now, guess what? Once the war was over, they had a problem with the American Indians. So what did they do? Sherman did such a great job of the scorched earth policy. Remove the food from your enemy, and your enemy cannot fight. A hungry man can't fight as good as a well-fed man. So what did he do? He went to the West and slaughtered the buffalo. Duh, he was a military general for the United States government. So he convinced politicians to subsidize the railroads to take hunting people, hunting parties, to the West to kill the main food line of the Indians, the buffalo. He who does not study history is bound to repeat it.
So
that's how the United States won over the Indians.
So how...
So how now moving forward, do
we take what is an incredible mess going on in all nations? And it's not just America. I mean, I know America takes the heat because we're supposedly a superpower, you know. But it's happening all over the place. But how now do we bring all the average Joes together and work this out to where humanity has a chance to survive? I mean, it's in such disrepair right now that it's mind-boggling. All right, we got people fighting over everything under the sun. You know,
we came up with the answer yesterday, because it is on Bad Scientist. I mean, the United States throws enough power to generate power for the entire world every day. cellulose. Cellulose is four sugar molecules chained together. We found a way enough cellulose that if we could turn it into alcohol, so sugar and then into alcohol, we could power the entire world. Other countries are the same way. The thing is, we don't need oil. Those people that in Arabia, Iraq, Iran, whatever, with all this oil, we don't need it. Why are we giving them money? They hate our guts.
That's the key, man.
That's
the key. The guys and gals at the top, while they preach this whole global warming / save the planet propaganda deal, they don't want to get rid of oil. They don't want to get rid of diamonds and gold and all that kind of stuff because it keeps them in the comforts that they're accustomed to. They'll just pit this guy against that guy, keep them fighting. It's the Jerry Springer effect that's going on in this world that keeps everybody pitted towards each other. Meanwhile, they're still fracking. They're still drilling oil. They're still spraying crud in the sky. They're still tampering with vaccinations. They're still genetically modifying foods and all this kind of stuff. These guys are having a heyday. I mean, it's a free-for-all. As long as they can keep you doing what you're doing, and us even having to come out here and talk about what we're talking about, they have it made.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
They don't care about the future. All they care about is their wallets and their bank accounts today. He who dies with the most toys wins. But the thing is, whether you win or not, it doesn't make any difference. You're still dead. These people, these rich people that are power hungry, they don't realize that one day they're going to be dead. That's all there is to it. Whether you're in power or not, you're still dead. They don't get it.
Well, in the good book, it talks about how the meek shall inherit the earth. Do you understand what that means?
Yes, I do.
All the power structures of the world, when the final conflict comes down and everybody's battling amongst each other, who's left over? Who's the only ones left? Are the minor few, the few little civilians, the good people, the weakest people that somehow or another hid in a nook or cranny and was able to survive the coming apocalypse and everything getting destroyed. So now you got not presidents and governors and senators, you got just your average Joe walking out of their little cave structures and seeing the total destruction of all humanity. And who rules that, all right? It's like Metallica's song, King Nothing, man. You destroyed it all, so what are you king of?
I can't remember the actual name of the song, but I was a teenager during the flower child era. And flower children came out after the hippies and the yippies. But there was a song, and the final words of the song was, "One Tin Soldier Rides Away."
Yep, Muddy plays that a lot.
The valley people against the mountain people, the mountain people had a good life, and the valley people wanted their secret to happiness. So they charged in, they fought, and at the end of the battle, One Tin Soldier rides away.
Yep.
And
it's messed up, man. It's messed up.
The thing is, the secret the mountain people had was peace with the little cook man.
Well, peace never come from the end of the barrel of a gun, man. There are those out there who have learned how to manipulate your hearts and your minds, and they do it really well through media, through each other. When you hear something on TV and you think it's real and you go tell your friend about it, did you hear about this? If you hadn't researched it to find out, to see, like, prime example, I fell prey to this one time. There was a YouTube video that came up, and it was talking about this law that was being passed, and every time you turn around, it'd be redacted. This was redacted, that was redacted, top secret, and so on and so forth. And when I first heard it, I was like, what the, you know, what's going on here? And well, turns out, there's a a YouTube channel out there that is a fake news channel that has a little onion down at the bottom of it, right? And they make a mockery of the judicial system or whatever, the way that laws are passed or all this kind of stuff. And it's just a joke. But the way that it's presented to everybody, it looks like a real deal, you know? But if you don't know the inside joke that it is a joke, and if you hadn't took the time to read the description underneath there saying this is like a humor deal, then you'd swear up and down, you just saw a real news broadcast, and you go out there and tell your friends, did you hear about this, you know, and that, and you just, you spread some propaganda that was a joke, you know?
You know, some of the verses of the song are coming back to me, like, go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend.
Yeah.
Do it all in the name of heaven to be justified in the end.
Yeah, that's
peace
it.
Peace on earth to the willful men, one tin soldier to rise away.
They, under the guise of the ends justify the means, a lot of atrocities have occurred.
Yep.
And humanity has got to come to a point before this World War III has to come to a point to become enlightened. And I'm afraid that on the path that we're on, it's just not going to happen fast enough. Right? I hate to sound like a negative person or a doomsdayer, but step back and look at the table and listen to everybody arguing right now. And see what they're arguing about. I got people telling me because I'm a Christian that I'm stupid or whatever, you know. I got people out there treading on the American flag. All these things I find, upsetting. And it's not, like I said, it's not just me. They're being attacked too on the opposite side, you know.
Exactly, they are. And that's just the point I've been trying to make this whole show is he who does not study history is bound by nature to repeat it.
Yep.
Don't realize that what's going on today has gone on many, many different times throughout history if they just study history.
But when is enough enough? When will the people stop fighting amongst each other and focus their anger towards the true evil of this world?
When they kill each other off and there's only one or two left.
Well, it's a sad day whenever...
It's a study history, so they're going to do it all over again.
It's a sad day when the majority of all the population of the world has to die in order to bring about goodness on this planet. Like I said, peace never comes from the end of the barrel of a gun. Now, when the meek inherit the earth, which, according to the book, they will... maybe those guys will be wise because of what they've seen. But once again, it falls back to exactly what you said. History will repeat itself if they don't learn from the lessons. Now, I'm saying we should learn now while we still have a chance to have a now. You know what I mean?
When the meek do inherit the earth, and they have several times in the past, they've got to educate their kids of the history of the world. And that's the whole problem. They haven't done that. I mean, my God. I mean, I'm not for or against slavery. I mean, after all, there's still people, white and black, and yellow, and red, that are being sold and bought in slavery even today. Think about that.
History should not be forgotten, but it should also not be used to shove in everybody's face and torment. It shouldn't be used as a weapon, and that's what the problem is. History is being used as a weapon towards people out there. Because we know about atrocities, and you know as well as I know, and Justin, that we don't agree with, we wouldn't have been slave owners. All right, that's where our heart stands. We wouldn't have done that. All right, but
it's an economical fact. Economical fact that slavery does not work. It takes more money to control the slaves than they actually produce in revenue.
Yeah, but even at that, the biggest key of the whole thing to take away from this is that they use this as a weapon to divide and conquer.
Exactly.
I wasn't born during the time when this stuff was going on. Had I been born during the time when this stuff going on, look at my track record. Look what I talk about. Look what I'm saying. I would have been one of the rebels who would have been trying to fight against such deals. And are the same. There's millions of people out there would do the same exact thing. It's a small minority of individuals who are behind the scenes doing the whole Jerry Springer thing, picking the fight, getting them all started. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. It's called divide and conquer.
Yeah. If you use history as a teaching tool, then that is fine. If you use history as a weapon, then that is where you're going to fail. Because just as much history as you could put on me and say that I, because of my beliefs or heritage, did this, there are things in history that would show you the same deal on your side of the fence, such as during the slave trade, there were tribes attacking tribes, selling their own people to other people.
And you know, what gets me is a lot, and I'm not a racist, okay, but it's ironic that a lot of black, American-born blacks are taking Muslim names because they don't want anything to do with white. So the thing is, what they don't realize, it was the Muslims in the beginning that went to Africa and told this tribe, if you attack that tribe and capture them, we'll buy them from you. And then they would turn right around and go over to the other tribe and tell them the same thing. So they didn't have to fight anybody. And they got the blacks to fight each other and take... in other words, it's like what you said. It's not a black thing. It's what you said. It's divide and conquer.
Yep.
Two groups of people to fight one another and capture one another.
They got us all fighting everybody. All right?
I'll say it again. Divide and conquer. The whole daggone system in the United States is divide the races. Get your African Americans to hate your whitey brothers. Get your Italian Americans to your French Americans.
People talk about how they don't like the police state, but they're empowering the police state by fighting amongst each other, because there's always going to be job security in the police department and the military as long as there's going to be people fighting amongst each other.
Right. You mean divide and conquer. I mean, come on. I mean, when are we going to unite? E pluribus unum. United we stand, divided we fall. It's that simple. Are you an American or not? And if you are, get the hell off of welfare.
There's so much.
Get a job. There's lots of jobs out there. I don't care if you have to work for $2 an hour. Get a job. Do something. Clean up your neighborhood. Even if you don't get paid, it doesn't cost you a dime when you're walking down the street to pick up a piece of trash and throw it in the next trash bin that you see. Why is there so much trash laying around in the streets?
Because it's too much effort for some individuals to walk over there and put it in a trash can.
Yesterday, on Mad Scientist, hey, I had my favorite picnic area with my family years ago, and what did I do? People had no respect, so it was trash everywhere. We turned it into a game. Into the kids, they loved it. Whichever kid can get the biggest pile of paper trash, gets 50 cents. The second biggest, 25 cents. The last one gets 10. Everybody got a reward for picking up trash, but it was not picking up trash. It was a game. Okay, and then after the paper, then came the plastic, then came the metal, then came the wood. You turn it into a game. I mean, why can't we do something similar to that? You walk down the street and you pick up a piece of trash, you throw it in a trash can, and when you put trash in the trash can, it gives you a piece of chewing gum. It's a reward. I mean, you know, do your job. I mean, have fun. How many pieces of chewing gum can you get in a day?
Well, there's a saying out there that pretty much states that you never know what you got until it's gone. And so with all the Americans and what they perceive the country to be and freedom and all that, they're not even knowing that most generally they're helping to deteriorate their own rights. Yeah. Calling the neighbor on calling the law on your neighbor because the grass is too tall or whatever. All right, yeah. Government has no problem putting regulations on you. It keeps job security. Somebody's got to enforce that law. Somebody's got to collect the fines, you know. They're making so much money through the court systems and the governmental systems, the taxation systems. They have got you being played like a banjo, and you don't speak their language. So when you go to court 9 times out of 10, you're going to lose unless you have an attorney who's well enough versed in their language that can get you out of trouble. Right. And so the whole system is designed to get you to pay for everything that's going on. Literally, you are that sticker that you used to see all the time, a slave from birth to grave. You got a birth certificate, which essentially is a title to your body that you can find on the stock market. How does that work? A social security number that when it first came out said that it wasn't to be used for identification purposes, but now is attached to everything from your education to your criminal record to your medical records.
Yep.
Numbers, cattles, license, and all this kind of stuff. And we talk about freedom and sovereignty and all that kind of stuff, but everyone is giving away their freedom on a daily basis. And you think and going out stomping on my American flag and stomping on my Bible and doing all this kind of stuff is going to make your life better? You know? The government out there, the White House, put the gay pride flag right up on the side of the White House in everyone's face. All the Christians of the world who've seen that, it was in your face. The White House is supposed to be neutral. They're supposed to be the representatives, but they are spitting in the face of your beliefs. And it's okay. Today it was spitting in the face of the Christians. Tomorrow it'll be spitting in the face of the gay community. The next day it'll be spitting in the face of the people who like the rebel flag. It's going to continue to divide and conquer you over and over and over again because it makes money. You can't sell no bullets if there is no war. You can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick or somebody wanting to get high. You can't sell nothing unless there's a need for it out there. They are creating the need. They're creating the need for the doggone drugs to keep you calm and relaxed. They're creating the need for Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox to give your kids because you ain't got the time to discipline your kids, so your kid's running amok in school. Now he's ADD, he's all this and that, so now we got to give him a watered-down horse tranquilizer to keep him mellowed out. And then when he comes off of that drug, he freaks out and starts doing crazy stuff.
Yep.
And you wonder why? You, the people out there, are allowing this system to eat you alive. You're allowing it to degrade your kids' lifestyles. You know, when you get these kids stuck on Ritalin, Prozac, and Luvox, those are the next future presidents, congressmen, senators, mayors, police officers, and all that. Everything down there. You're allowing these individuals at the top to perpetuate the money-making machine that is the industrial military complex of the world. These guys and gals, when they grow up, they're going to get a hold of guns, whether they're legal or not. They're going to get a hold of knives, whether they're legal or not. They're going to go out and kill somebody, which is job security for the governments of the world to regulate you out of existence.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Shadid. You know, I just read an email here about 3-4 months ago about how there was 340-some thousand people died because of mistakes that hospitals and doctors and nurses made. There were 100-some people thousand people that died because of this, that, and another. I think it was 8,000 people last year alone were killed by claw hammers. And in the past 2 years, only 47 people in the United States were killed by assault weapons.
Well, the best lesson to learn is this, man. The very first murder, according to the book, was Cain and Abel. All right? And it was done with a rock.
I'm not finished, okay? 47 people in 2 years were killed by assault rifles. 340,000 people were killed by illegal drugs, hospitals, and doctors. Wait a minute. We're trying to regulate guns in this country? Well, duh. Are we regulating the hospitals? Wait a minute. It was, I don't know how many, 34,000 people killed by claw hammers. What are we going to do? We're going to outlaw claw hammers? We're going to take Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace Hardware, and every hardware store and tell them you can't sell claw hammers anymore?
We need to wrap every single individual out there in bubble wrap so they don't hurt themselves or anybody else.
Right, exactly. I mean, come on, man.
Once again, I've
seen this before. I'm going to say it again. One more time. I don't believe in capital punishment. I do believe in culling your orchard. You have a peach tree in your orchard and it gets a blight, you don't punish it. You don't beat it with chains. You don't fence it off from the rest of the world and spend thousands of dollars every year trying to keep it alive. You cull it. You cut it down and you burn it. I don't believe in capital punishment. If a human being, like your dog, gets sick, terminally sick, what do? You put it down. Your dog gets rabies. It gets distemper. You put it down. It doesn't suffer anymore, and it can't infect anybody else or somebody else's dog.
Well, I think that if certain individuals out there have the choice of who goes and who stays during this whole Georgia Guidestone from 8 billion down to 500 million, Where do we stand in that deal right there, you know? Because I have certain beliefs I could be a danger to society, so I got to be one of the ones that goes, all right? Who decides who goes and who doesn't go? That's the question. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And the thing is, you're talking about the upper echelon of humans in the world wanting to control population, we put these medicines out there, these vaccines that are killing people. Duh.
It says right on the doggone warning symptoms that may cause autism, but yet they say it's not linked to autism.
But the thing is, they control population by killing off half of the world. Well, duh. Why not start with them? Why don't they volunteer? Show the rest of us what to do.
Yeah, lead by example.
Lead by, I love that. Lead by example. You want to lessen the population of the earth? Then you take the pill and show me how it's done.
That's why I'm trying to say to everybody out there, look, I've said this a million times, that it doesn't matter to me whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, or whatever your belief is, your own personal spiritual journey or lack thereof. None of that matters to me, all right? I'm going to lead my life by my own personal beliefs, and whatever you see that you might want to adopt, that's up to you. I'm not forcing it down your throat or anything like that, but in the same sense, don't tread on me, you know? I'm just a human trying to make my way through this world just like you are. And the fact of the matter remains that we are all here together in this same boat. And if you're over there on your side poking holes in the boat because you don't like what I'm doing, and I'm over on my side poking holes in the boat because I don't like what you're doing, and if everybody else is doing that as well from all different nations and races and religions and colors and backgrounds and heritages and so on and so forth, if everybody's poking holes in the boat, we're all going to sink. It's going to go down at the same time.
Everybody's poking holes in the boat, and nobody's bailing.
That's right. We need people bailing. Now, right now, we're kind of bailing. We're sitting there trying to speak common sense to the world out there.
Yeah, hey, look here. We're in a boat, and we got a set of oars, and I'm stronger than you. I might be older, but I'm stronger than you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to row the boat because we can see land. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, you row the boat. I'll talk common sense and keep bailing.
But you dig on straight, you start bailing.
Yeah.
I can't possibly row this boat fast enough to get there before it sinks. But if you don't bail, we're not going to make it.
That's it.
You bail.
That's the whole key right there. We need people bailing out this boat because it, you know, put all your petty differences aside. I'm sorry that there's bad things that happened to you in your life and your ancestors' life. I'm sorry about that. I wasn't there, and I wouldn't have been part of it if I was there. I would have been part of trying to solve the problem so that all people could have justice.
However, I
can't carry that burden for the past mistakes of people that I haven't even met in my lifetime and try to make this world a better place at the same time. We need to step past the past, not forgetting the past, but using the past as a learning tool to never repeat those mistakes again and not to allow humanity to fall back down into that hole. You see where I'm coming from?
I like your rowboat idea with the punching the holes. It's like, okay, I'm in a boat and I'm going toward the shore and there's nobody in the boat and I see somebody out there swimming and they're really tired. Okay? So I stop just long enough to pull them in the boat, hoping that I can make it short. And maybe I'm going to save this person's life. Next thing you know, this person has eaten all of my supplies, drank all of my fresh water, and now that they're stronger, they're starting punching holes in my daggone boat instead of bailing.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying when we first started this show. Why are you leaving your country that you don't like, coming here to the United States, and then trying to make the United States like the country you just left? You people that came here to get away from your government, to get away from your religion, why are you trying to change our country to be like yours? That's why you have to start with.
Yep. And if you want me to be able to work in harmony with nature, and if you have knowledge of how nature works, and you use your heritage as a teaching tool, show me how to work in harmony with nature, and I'm in agreement. I'll help you. I will do the same thing. You know, you don't have to force it on me. Just lead by example. And if my views are wrong, I'm gonna follow you. All right. As long as what you're doing is in the better interest of all humanity, that doesn't require on you stepping on somebody else's neck in order to get yourself up to reach that apple out of the tree, then I'm going to follow the scales of justice. I'm going to follow truth and what is right, because I know the difference between right and wrong. I'm not going to not like you because of your color or your belief system. I'm going to like you or dislike you according to your works here on this boat we're on.
Exactly. I like that. You know, years ago, the minimum wage in the United States was like $4.50. And I hired people in. I never would pay anybody less than $5 an hour. Back when minimum wage, I mean, we're talking many years ago, okay? I had guys that would come in. I never, the first 15, 20 years I was in business, I never had anybody ask for a raise. Not one time. But a lot of them did. I had guys that were starting at $5 an hour, and in 6 months to a year would be making $10 or $12 an hour. I mean, we're talking minimum wage was $4.67 or some crap like that, okay? But I was paying these people more than anybody else was paying. Why? Because they worked hard, they learned their trade, they learned what they were doing, and it made me money. Man was making me $20 an hour. Why wouldn't I pay him 10 or 12? He's making more money, $2, $3, $4 an hour more than any top-notch man doing the same job anywhere in the United States. Why not? Share a piece of the pie. I've also had guys come in, work for $5 an hour, and 6 years later, they're still making $5 an hour because they're not doing anything. They're not learning anything. if you want to get ahead in life, you have to do more. It's a succession. Do more, but don't waste your time doing more for someone that does not appreciate it. If you are making your boss $20 an hour, then you should be making $10 to $12 an hour. If you're making your boss $30 an hour, then you have to be making $14 to $15. Your boss has to make a profit. If he doesn't make a profit, then what's his point in being in business?
Well,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, then, it's all about, you know, a lot of third world countries and other countries, whatever, they down the United States because we are capitalists. We believe in a profit. Duh! That's what life is all about. It's making better. It's why you have children, so you can raise them up and teach them to do better than you did. Is there anybody out there, in Radio Land that really and truly want their children to be less than they are? Or equal to them? I mean, you're following Yugoslavia. Or, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm not putting anybody down. You're a farmer. You're raising wheat. You're out there with a scythe and you're cutting your wheat. I've done that. Been there. Wore that t-shirt. Fit like a glove. I loved every minute of it. I've cut wheat with a scythe. I've plowed my land with a horse. Loved every minute of it. It was me and an animal. A living thing. Not a tractor. Okay? Maybe I'm getting off in left field somewhere. I don't know. I mean, this is weird.
Well, I think the biggest lesson to take away from all of this right here is to step back and look and see what's going on around you. And all you got to do is watch, and you can see where the hate and the discontent is coming from. We know that in the history of the United States, there were a lot of terrible things that goes on. But you could always track all those terrible things down to terrible people that decided that they want to try to manipulate somebody else to get something. Whether it be, I want your piece of land because it's got water on it. I want your piece of land because it's got a gold mine on it. I want this. None of this earth belongs to any individual on this planet. It belongs to the Creator who created the planet. And if we're sitting down here and this is a school and we're here to learn, there's a lot of you out there who are failing miserably because you're allowing that little Jerry Springer on the other side to distract you from the education to bring you to the point of true enlightenment. If there is a one world government out there, if there is a difference between evil and a heaven and a hell, the dark side right now is kicking your butt. It's stealing your children's future. It's stealing your future. You know? You don't go to work and come home with a backache for nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, speaking of the rebel flag and this, that, and other, and the Civil War, you know, a lot of people, because they don't study history, don't understand, a lot of people think the Civil War was fought over slavery, and it was not. The actual bottom line reason for the United States Civil War was for the same reason that the United States fought the Revolutionary War and won its independence from England: taxation without representation. The North kept taxing the cotton and the tobacco to the point that the plantation owners, the cotton growers, the tobacco growers couldn't survive. And that's what started the war.
Yeah.
Not slavery. The war had nothing to do with slavery.
If people want to argue over what history was right and what history was wrong, then they need to be able to trust their sources where their information came from. And since the dawning of your school age, whenever you were at school and the teachers were teaching this and that, there are certain peoples who choose the curriculum. There might be certain books that didn't make it in the Bible. There was always, throughout the entire history of the world, there were always those who said they didn't want the average Joe to know certain things. It's all control factor. If you control the information, if you control the water, you control the food, the air they breathe, the sunlight that shines down on their head, you can remain the king of the world. It's as simple as that.
To live, I was expelled from school 3 times my senior year in high school. 3 times I was expelled because I absolutely refused to believe and repeat what I was taught about the Revolutionary War. I insisted that the South won the war. And my teachers, all of my history teachers, and some of my science teachers, they didn't know that much about history, but even the principal and vice principal of my school agreed that I should be expelled because I refused to admit and say that the South lost the Revolutionary War. They did not understand. The war was fought because the South seceded. They backed out of the Union. The North said, you cannot back out of the Union, because once you are part of the Union, you are part of the Union forever. I could not get my teachers to understand my reasoning. And hopefully there's somebody out here in Radio Land that's going to get my reasoning.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Essentially, you know, regardless of who...
Wait a minute. The war was fought because the South seceded from the Union because of taxation without representation. They seceded from the Union. Or rather, they declared secession. The North said you cannot secede. It is impossible. Once you're part of the Union, you are part of the Union forever. So they fought a war. Now, here's the secret. The North beat the hell out of the South. They beat us into submission. But then they turn around and say, if you want to become part of the Union again, if you want back into the Union, then you need to do this, 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 and this. That's what they sent the carpetbaggers down South. Okay? But the point I'm trying to make is you cannot put a spoon back in a glass unless you take it out of the glass to start with. To put a spoon in a glass, you can do. But you cannot put it back into the glass unless it was in the glass and you took it out. So, the reason for the fighting was to secede from the Union. Now, at the end of the war, when the North beat the South, they say, now, if you were back into the Union, then you need to do this, this, this. That means that we were no longer part of the Union. Think about it. We won the war. We lost the battle. We suffered greatly. But we won what we were wanting. We got it. And then we went back. Go.
Well, the thing about it is, if you take a crowd of people and every time something happens, you have one of the members of that crowd of people write something down on a chalkboard, and next time something happens, somebody else writes something down, and this is continued until the entire chalkboard is all filled up, and then you decide for some reason or another that this chalkboard makes you look bad. So let's just erase it all, and let's just start off fresh, and everything's gone. But the same problems will repeat themselves. The same things will be written down on that chalkboard, and then once again, you're going to go up there and you're going to erase it. And then you're going to repeat it over and over and over again because you didn't leave it up on the chalkboard and say, hey, look what we did this last time. Let's not do that again.
Get a new chalkboard and start over.
Yeah.
Keep the old one and learn where your mistakes were and don't do them again.
And that's what the people are missing.
The world will remember what you did wrong.
And, you know, it's going to continue to happen over and over and over again. And you're mad at me because this happened. I'm mad at you because that happened. And we're going to stay mad at each other. We're going to retaliate. We're going to deplete each other's rights as much as possible. until we all got what we want, which isn't what we wanted to begin with, because all we wanted was freedom and peace, and what we ended up doing was regulating each other into slavery. And the guys and gals at the top of the pyramid up there are eating it up because they're making money hand over fist.
They're laughing at us. They're laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You can't sell drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell bullets and ammunition if ain't nobody fighting.
Exactly.
Well, we need to take a music break.
Yeah, we need some new coffee.
And I'm going to throw a song in here from Black Sabbath. That ought to be a good one for somebody, because this song talks about heaven and hell. But there's some words in this thing that's really pertinent to what we're saying.
Hey, see if you can find that song about the mountain people and the valley people and play it one time.
No, I don't have that in my library.
I don't even remember the name of the song.
I don't either. But either way, there's a phrase at the end of this song that talks about the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams, all right? Whatever you think of the band Black Sabbath, they had some wisdom in some of their songs. But I also got a couple other things to throw up in there as well. But, you know, listen. When you listen, whether you agree or disagree with anything out there, the best thing that you could do is listen to every single thing that's said. Everything. Pay attention to all details, because it's the details that's going to get you in the end.
Yep.
All right. Stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table.
were the devil, if I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and little children. Victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts.
You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. To make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. A decent world that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. Seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in some deep valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Extenuating circumstances. There were reasons why I did what I did. You know, there were things that people done to me that caused me to do things to other people, and so on and so forth. At the end of the day, it all boils down to the simple. each and every individual out there on this entire planet, regardless of what the other guy did. It doesn't matter. If I come up and punch you in the nose and you turn around and punch me in the nose, both of us made the conscious decision to do something. We chose our path when we did it. So each and every individual out there is responsible for their own actions. I can't force you to do things, and I can't make your mind up for you. Whatever you do, whether it be turn the other cheek or pull out your firearm or your sword or whatever, you're going to make that choice on your own. And until people out there can understand this and stop allowing the system to manipulate you with terminology and threats of violence or fear tactics or whatever, trying to convince you that under the guise of patriotism, you must go over there and kill the other individuals in another nation. You have to make that conscious decision to do so. Now, there are repercussions that could come into play, such as if I decide as a young man that I don't want to sign up for the military. I could be fined, I could be imprisoned under the threats of all that deal. But regardless of that, I still have to make a conscious decision to choose to comply or not to comply, to consent or not to consent. There are a lot of people out there that talk about nonviolent protest, sit down, sit in, or whatever you want to call it. They chose to do exactly what they did. The law enforcement, under whatever guise that they figure they're justified for, did what they did. They, either violently or whatever, pepper sprayed some protesters in the face or whatever. Each and every individual, each and every law enforcement officer chose to do what it is that they did. They justified their actions by whatever that they were told to do or what they were told were legal, but they made a conscious decision to do unto others what they did. So every single living soul on this planet who has violated anyone chose to do so, chose to retaliate for this or that, and did what they did, perpetuating the violence on into the future. I'm not responsible for your actions. I'm not responsible for my ancestors' actions. I am only responsible for what I do. My own personal choices is all that I can be held accountable for in any court of law, and even to the higher power, such as what I believe to be God Himself. So whatever I do in my life, I will have to answer for. Whatever you do in your life, you will have to answer for. And if the atheists are correct, when it's all said and done, it's over. It's done. It's done. But in order to actually figure out the biggest key of what life is, the meaning of life itself, using the four-letter word such as love, all right? If you love your neighbor, chances are they're not trying to shoot you, as long as they love you as well. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yes, I do. Amen.
I can't change what happened to any race, religion, or color, or anything. I don't like the word religion being tacked onto me because I'm not religious. I'm a Christian, and so I say I'm a Christian, so people want to turn and twist the terminology, but I don't follow an organized system of a belief that I fall line and lockstep in with just because this is what everyone else believes. There are Christians out there that I disagree with. There are Christians out there that I agree with. I don't follow them. I follow my own personal spiritual journey under what I believe the book to be about. I believe in the basic golden rules of life, the Ten Commandments. Whether they were written by aliens, whether they were written by whoever, some man over whatever, whether it's been manipulated or not. Somewhere in this world is a jar that has the missing piece of the puzzle, the book that would never even made it into the book, the truth, the whole deal. But until those missing pieces of the puzzle are all put on the table, until all evidence is in front of all of humanity, until we can step back and put this piece of the puzzle together and know all truths, we are just giving out the bits and pieces of what we believe to be truth. So truth in this world is only according to who the teller is. His truth, his version of truth. My truth comes from my own personal perception of what I have perceived, of a perception of what I have perceived the good book to be about and what I want my life path to end up in. As long as I'm producing no harm on you or anyone else out there in the world, and I'm living to be free and raise my family accordingly, then I should be left alone to do so. So with that said, the boat that we're all in. You're poking holes in your side. I'm poking holes in my side. Our anger back and forth. We're poking holes in the boat. And at the end of all of this deal, we all want the same exact thing. We want the truth. We want freedom. If it's aliens that put us down here, we want to know for a fact. If it's evolution that made it, then we want to know. If it is a creator from divine intervention that put us down here, we want to know. But I don't have all the answers, and not one single living soul on this planet has all the answers. It is a fragmented system throughout the entire deal that people are picking and choosing what they want to believe in and making their decisions accordingly. But regardless of all that, your decision is just that. It's yours.
Yep. It's yours. I agree with every damn thing you said. Everything.
Well, if we are to bring about peace on this world, then common sense has to be in play. Wisdom has to be in play. Knowledge of the past. You know, when you pass on information out there, you need to know whether or not this information is valid, whether it has been vetted, whether the source that you got it from was trustworthy or not.
Everything
out there, in every situation, the people that are rioting, they got angry because they didn't like the system, so they burnt down their community. They made a conscious choice to do so. Every law enforcement agent that came out and that either was by the law or over the law made a conscious decision to do so. And until everyone out there understands that, until you take responsibility for your own personal action, until you realize your true power, the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions, the power of leading by example, the power of love, true love, you know, honoring your mother and father, loving thy neighbor, taking care of the weak, taking care of the needy, so on and so forth. Basic common sense, basic laws of nature. Do unto others as you would do unto yourself, or you would have done unto you, whatever. This is all we're saying. This is all we've been trying to say all along. Don't hate me because I call myself a Christian. It's fine if you don't agree with what I got. It's fine if you don't agree with the book. But at this point in my life, that is the spiritual journey. That is the point that I'm on. When I get to the other side, or maybe even on this journey through to the other side, I might find the missing piece of the puzzle that changes my mind. I might find something that will show me the truth. And I will take my choices from according to that. In the meantime, don't stomp on my American flag. Don't stomp on my Bible or spit on my Constitution. It's what makes me what I am, because those are the things that I believe in. That's all I'm asking. Respect me and I can respect you. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Sure do. You know, that's me. I just made a statement earlier on the show hoping that you would not get angry with me, and I made the statement you said you would not. And that is, I am agnostic. But being agnostic doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. It doesn't mean that I do believe in God. It means simply that I am agnostic. I don't know if there is. I want proof. I don't have it. So, the thing is, I live my life in this manner. If I die and find out there is no God, I'm not going to find out because there is no God. But if I die and find out there is a God, duh, I haven't done anything to offend him. Now, so my point is, being an agnostic, I believe that each person, if there is a superpower, is part of that power, because according to your Christian Bible and according to Buddhist, each and every person is God. Each and every thing is God. So if I am God, why would I not want to look out for my people? My people being me and everyone around me. So I live my life in accordance to an agnostic. I do the best I can for myself first. And then if I have anything left over, I use it to help others.
It all follows down to practice what you preach.
Exactly.
If I'm trying to preach Christianity, then I need to act like a Christian. And there are certain things, I'm not perfect. And the book says that I'm not perfect. The book says all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know that I'm not perfect. I'm not above or below anyone else out here on this planet. And it's not for me to judge. It's for me to try to lead my life the best I can, to lead by example, and try to show people what I feel is the truth. Not to try to go out there and shout them down on the street corner and say, doomsday's coming and you're going to burn in hell if you don't listen to what I got to say. Read this book.
Hey, think about the sinners that have repented and become Christians. I used to be a drunkard and fight, and I would clean out a whole bar and this, that, and that. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, don't brag about your sins.
No, just let them lie. Because the book talks about whenever you're forgiven that he buries it in the bottom of the sea, the deepest portion of the sea, and you move on. It's that clean slate, man.
Amen.
Every single day.
And I'm not going to brag about it.
However it occurs, every single day the sun comes up without fail. And as soon as you take your feet out of bed and place them on the floor, you begin a brand new day. You could either repeat the mistakes that you made yesterday and the day before that and the years and weeks and months prior, or you can decide, make a conscious decision that today I'm going to get up and I'm going to make this world a better place for everyone around me.
I like that. Because you're talking about history. If you get up in the morning, you put your feet on the floor, you have a decision to make. Are you going to repeat the mistakes you made before, or are you going to try to do better? And that's what this whole show is about. If you don't know history, you are bound by nature to repeat it. And the world, the entire world, has made many, many mistakes, and always the same ones.
Yeah, because the chalkboard keeps getting erased. The history keeps getting rewritten. If we could all step back and watch the whole entire world unfold before our very eyes and see the truth, then we wouldn't be having this discussion, because 90% of all the people out here would be appalled at what they saw. And it was only a small minority that were out there doing the evil deeds.
You seen that? Look at that.
What am I looking at?
Can you see it?
No.
No?
No, because my Skype, because it's on Linux, won't allow me, if there's more than two people in the deal, to see video.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to brag about an old man having a beautiful young wife.
those are the blessings, man. The family that you got is the blessings. The friends that you got is the blessings. Going outside and seeing the nature and the fresh air and the trees and plants and flowers and everything out there is a blessing. I mean, it's an amazing gift to take a next breath and be able to, you know, experience this world. And for whatever reason you feel like we got here, it all falls back down to the same doggone deal. While we're in this boat together, I choose whether or not I'm going to cooperate with you, and you choose whether or not you're going to cooperate with me, and together we'll determine whether we survive this mess or not. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's as simple as that. Put all the other differences aside. We don't need to be under a one world flag. We need Russia to be Russia. We need China to be China. We need Japan to be Japan, and Canada to be Canada, and America to be America, and Mexico to be Mexico. We need all this separation of powers because we're still in the infant stage as humanity and we don't get it. We need the checks and balances of the government, within a government, within a government, within a government, all the way down to the local townships, all the way down into the local villages, all the way down into the local families. Because that checks and balances ensures that nobody gets total control of everything. But we got to understand that with that comes power, with that comes responsibility. Your choices that you make on a daily basis will affect this entire world. Like you said earlier, Raymond, one of the wars in history was started over a pretty woman.
Exactly. And that's what I was trying to show you, this picture. When I turned the camera on, you couldn't see her. My wife, I'm 71 years old. My wife is 38. And she is one gorgeous creature. Gorgeous. I really don't deserve her. But, hey, she loves me, and she's with me. I mean, come on. Why? Because, I treat her right. Now, if you want your neighbor to love you, treat him right.
That's all it takes, man. A little bit of love goes a long ways.
Exactly.
Don't label me with your high-tech terminology and try to put me in that, paint the entire world with a wide brush. Just the deal about races, you know. Whites. You paint all the white people with a white brush. But wait a second. Are they really seriously white? French, Canadian, / Cherokee, / there's Dutch, German mix. Is there a true white race out there? Is there a true black race out there? A yellow race? Any of the colors out there of the spectrum? Is there any true race out there at all? And why is that even an option?
Right. There you go. Why is racism even an option?
What about the human race?
I mean, think about this a minute. People in the United States claim to be blue blood. Blue blood means that your parents came to the United States from the Mayflower, the Pinto, or the Nina. You were criminals.
Some of us came over on a boat. Some of us came up under the fence. Some of us came over the fence. Some of us came across this border. Some of us came across that border. However we got here, and all the crazy stuff that brought us to this point in time, it's all history that needs to be known. It needs to be shown. It needs to be not repeated.
It's history. It's history. Learn your history so that you don't repeat it again. Come on, people. We need to better the world. We don't need wars. We need to communicate.
Yep. And every single individual out there that is responsible for their own deal. My history, your history, Raymond's history is his story. History, his story. My history is my story. I'm responsible for all the actions that I've made from the time that I was old enough to decide. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes,
sir. So what it all boils down to and what we do here at the Knights of the Round Table is try to bring about some common sense and give you a platform that you can stand on and talk to the world and tell them your side of the story in a respectful manner. We don't always agree.
Yo, you said you're a Christian.
Yep.
I said agnostic. You have admitted that you have made mistakes in your life. I have admitted. You don't brag about your mistakes. I don't brag about mine. And nobody should. And if there's anybody out there that is religious, of any religion, or non-religious, agnostic, atheist, it doesn't matter. You've made mistakes in your life. Okay, go on with your life and stop making the same mistakes. That's all we're trying to say here.
Yep, stop erasing the chalkboard and leave it up there as a learning tool of what not to do next time. Sticky notes on the wall. I messed up and it hurt and I don't want to do this again.
Exactly. When it's full, don't erase it. Put it to the side so you can reread it and learn what you made mistakes and start a new chalkboard and don't make the same mistake.
Yep. But
history.
With that said, we're over the line and over the time, and so we got to play us up out of here with some constitutional peasants and some Monty Python. Look, guys and gals, look, I appreciate you guys listening in, and if you like what you've heard here on the show, go tell somebody else, you know. We don't have all the answers, but we do got a piece of the puzzle, each and every one of us. And if we all bring these pieces of the puzzle together and put them down on the table respectfully, we can fit the pieces of the puzzle together to make the big picture and find out the ultimate truth. You know, in the meantime, we need to take care of one another. We need to be respectful to one another. We need to learn as much as we possibly can, because the other side, the top of the pyramid, the global elitist of the world, they've got it figured out. They know how to manipulate you to get you to do and say what it is that they want you to do to fill their wallet. And it's as simple as that. They're building a stairway to heaven with gold on top of our civilization.
You know, this show today actually is a part of yesterday's show.
Yep.
It's all about, you know, we need to distribute the power.
That's right. We need to take the power out of the hands of the lunatics and put it back into the hands of the people, and we need to do it peacefully and respectfully as soon as possible before World War III starts.
Like I said, a bloodless revolution.
Yep. Peace and love, everybody. You all stay tuned. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. You got anything real quick to throw in there, Justin?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, what about you, Raymond?
Me, all I can say is, hey, love your neighbor.
Yep, that's the way to go, man. That's the most powerful tool in your arsenal.
Don't hate your neighbor. Don't cheat your friends.
Yep.
You get cheated, screw it. Go on with your life. You don't. Somebody hits you in the nose, back off and go your way and leave them alone. That's it. The meek shall inherit the earth.
Yep, we got to learn. We got to find wisdom and keep it. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. a self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights at the round table, green knights where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible, and the knights of the round table.